It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic. And what's up, sports fans, and welcome to the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast, Episode 9 for June 15th, 2021. It's the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. And remember, it's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. There are five shows on the Coach's Corner Sports Network. We have Rubbin' and Grubbin' every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Then on Saturday mornings, you have the Carl DeMasi Sports Report at 9 a.m., then we usually do, of course, it's a little sabbatical. I think they're stuck in a sand trap because they haven't done it since the Masters. But the 19th hole with Sean Herb, Brent Herb, hopefully they'll bring something back. We got the U.S. Open this week. Hopefully we get the Herb brothers talking about the 19th hole. And then two shows that are podcasts. Of course, the Hot Grits podcast with Spencer Maddox and Travis Jadon. I think they're up to episode number 71. Check it out, the Hot Grits podcast. Presented by Coach's Corner Sports Network. And, of course, yours truly, the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast. Got through it, Kyle? Another week in the books? You got to be excited.
Oh, yeah, Coach. We're getting into the nitty-gritty. It's getting hot out, and there is a lot to talk about around the major leagues. Injuries abound. Teams you didn't expect to be taken off are at the top of the divisions. I can't wait to talk about it.
Well, the lineup for the show, we got four innings. We go, of course, right off the top, we're going to go, who's hot? Now, we're not going to deal with who's not. We don't want to know who's not. We want to know who's hot.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Then segment two, of course, we got to focus on the Braves. Brave focus. There's a lot going on with the Braves since we are in Georgia. Segment three, talk a little Savannah Bananas. And then, of course, local players this week that have been making some headways.
Okay? Yeah.
And then, of course, we'll end it out with a little trivia. I know. The baseball fanatic is up 5-1-2. Okay, he's got 5 wins, 1 loss, 2 ties. It's like kissing his sister, but I don't know if he wants to do that. And that'll end up
on
the show.
So. Yeah, well, we definitely don't have one, Coach, but I think I got some good ones for you tonight. But, man, we got a lot to talk about. So
who's hot?
Who's hot? You want who's me to hot? Start? Let's go. Who could start this without the best team in baseball? Out of the American League East, that's been a really fun division thus far. The Tampa Bay Rays, the reigning American League champions right now, the 3 games ahead of the Boston Red Sox right now. And, you know, they continue to play fantastic baseball, easily the best record in the major leagues right now due to some timely hitting and great pitching. Now, they did get dealt a bit of a blow today as Tyler Glasnow, the great starter that they picked up from the Pittsburgh Pirates, has really come into his own. With Tampa Bay, UCL tear, he's done for the year, and this looks rough. But they are the class of the division. But look out, here come the Boston Red Sox, who are the road warriors going on a 9-game road trip. They're 20-10 on the road, Coach.
The Red Sox?
Yeah.
Wow, you think the confines of good old Fenway Park and Pesky Pole would be home sweet home, but I guess they like playing on the road.
Well, they're going to get a good chance to figure it out this week. Starting right now, they start a 9-game roadie, and this could really see, you know, where they're going to go from here. So Tampa Bay gets dealt with a little bit of adversity, but they're still the class of the division and of the American League. So that's out of the East. Now, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, we haven't talked about the Chicago White Sox either, though.
No, and we're going to get there. We're going to head over to the Central right now. They are starting to really pull away. 4.5 game lead over the Cleveland Indians right now. The Cleveland Indians, 7 out of 3. But the White Sox continue to have fantastic starting pitching. You look at that. You get veteran Lance Lynn, who's rediscovering the form that he had in his early years with the St. Louis Cardinals, pitching fantastically. Louis Giolito, Dallas Keuchel, and, you know, a guy who threw a no-hitter earlier in the year that's really kind of settled down, reinvented himself in Carlos Rodon. That's a pretty darn good starting four. Now, they did get handed a little bit of adversity as Nick Madrigal, one of their first-round picks from the last couple of years. He goes down, you know, with a season-ending injury and on that hamstring. He's elected to get surgery. That's a big loss for him. But one thing for the Sox, for the Pale Hosts, Eloy Jimenez, who had a torn pec, and that's one of the most painful injuries you can have in baseball. You think about what you do with the plate. He's been cleared to return to baseball activities. Don't be surprised. You see about a month and a half of work out of him. The Sox are head and shoulders the class of the Central in the AL, and they're starting to run away with the division. And we're only 3 weeks into the month of June.
Right. And, you know, everybody's not talking about this, but let's go out to McCovey's Cove and let's talk a little bit about the San Francisco Giants. I mean, Kevin Guzman would be the number one pick, but DeGrom is off the chain.
Guzman, yeah.
7-1, 1.43 ERA, a .78 whip, 97 strikeouts in 81 2/3 innings. I mean, he's a clear shot for an all-star for me, but he would be the class of the league. But, you know, DeGrom is off the chain. But the Giants, nobody expected the Giants to be here.
No, absolutely not. We discussed that. And, I mean, the Dodgers are nipping at their heels. They're only one game back, even though they just lost Max Muncy. But, I mean, you still look at the Walker Buehlers and Clayton Kershaws of the world. They are absolutely loaded. And I got to tell you, I know he's an ancillary piece at this point, but, I mean, – Albert Pujols is still playing for the Dodgers. It's kind of fun to watch. I always thought he was going to go back to St. Louis. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. And, they're going to be nipping at their heels right now. And the Padres are taking a little bit of a swan dive recently right now in the last week or two here. But, yeah, the Giants continue. And you want to talk about, kind of having a little bit of Indian summer, even though these are not, old guys. Buster Posey, rediscovering the form that made him one of the best catchers in the National League. And look at Brandon Crawford. I mean, they're as red hot as any team in that division.
Well, you know, we got to go to another team that nobody's given any credit to, and goes back, I think, to your Central Division, the Milwaukee Brewers.
The Brew Crew, and that has turned into a fun race. They're currently tied with my beloved Chicago Cubs. But look at that three-headed monster at the top of that rotation. You got Corbin Burns, you got Brandon Woodruff, and then you got Chase Anderson right now. And they absolutely demolished the woebegone Pittsburgh Pirates, who are going through a complete rebuild right now. So that didn't do my Cubbies any favors right now. And they're taking on the Cincinnati Reds, who are still finding a way to stay around at .500. But it's turned into really a two-team dogfight right now. St. Louis, after getting swept by the Cubs over the weekend, they've dropped, four games down. But Milwaukee's been one of the hottest teams in the National League as well.
You know, it's simply amazing with all the injuries that are going on this year.
Throughout baseball.
I mean, the teams that are holding first place, the New York Mets with all the injuries they got, and they're still in that National League East, which we thought – the Braves would contend, but they're inconsistent. The Phillies are inconsistent. So, injuries are playing a big part of this. But my number one team, like you said, I can't name a player on the team, but the Tampa Bay Devil Rays is probably the hottest team in baseball.
I was about to say, and that's what I love. There's so many people that still call them the Devil Rays, even though they are the Rays. And, yeah, they've got two American League pennants, that's just it. They keep finding ways to win. That's a well-run organization, top to bottom.
Yeah, but they're going to move too.
Oh, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it right now. But right now, there's a lot of fun in Tampa Bay, St. Pete.
All right. Well, let's go now to the second part of segment number one, who's hot, who's not. Let's go who's hot with the sticky fingers.
Ooh, okay. Now, this has been talk around baseball. I mean, and you think about – it goes down to trying to get a grip.
Hold. Before you go, remember, we've been cheating in baseball since the game started. So,
it's trying to get an edge.
Everybody's trying to get an edge, and they all make a big deal of it. But, sticky fingers. All you got to do, Kyle, and I know from talking to a couple of people who have a little major league experience or minor league experience, all you have to do is get that rosin bag, put a little suntan lotion on your arm.
Ooh, copper tone action.
There you go. Rub your hands in the rosin. Rub your hands on that suntan lotion. Hey, you got some sticky suntan lotion fingers right there.
Yeah, that's true. And, I mean, there's a variety of things that pitchers use just to get kind of a grip. And I get it, especially, when it's on a cold day and things like that. MLB is really cracking down on this. And, I mean, it's become an edict now. It's a rule. they find out you're using, you know, what they're going to deem as an illegal substance. And I know this is really a ploy just to boost the offense in baseball because, yeah, you get better grip. Guess what you're going to get? More rotation on a slider, more rotation on a fastball, whatever your poison is as a starting pitcher, you're going to get that. So they're saying right now, if that is deemed to be an illegal substance, so to speak, from an umpire, that's a 10-game suspension for a pitcher, no matter whether you're a starter or reliever, and you can't replace him on your roster. Now, there's a lot of people that are really outspoken about this. I heard a really good, well, you can't really talk about it, what Trevor Bauer said a little bit earlier, you know, for this podcast, but he is not happy about it. Let's just say the reigning Cy Young winner of the Los Angeles Dodgers, not a happy camper. But if there was a uniformed substance that you could use, you know, of course you see the rosin bag, but if there was something that's like, all right, everybody agrees you can use something like that to get some kind of a grip, fine. I don't know what the answer is to this right now. All I know is they're taking a stance, and there's a lot of derision on both sides.
All right, here's my question to you, though.
Do
it. It all starts with the guy we just talked about, Jacob DeGrom. Everybody's saying, or the rumors that we hear, not everybody is saying, the rumors we hear, that he's one big reason that why they're looking into this. Because he's off the chain. He's off the charts this year.
Yeah, he's pitching great. I mean, he's won the Cy Young more than once. We'll give you that. I mean, yeah, but the thing is, there was no rule against it. If he's using something, and I guarantee you, if they crack down on it, which they apparently are going to try to do, good luck with that one, he's still going to go out and be the class of the National League. I don't think it's going to affect him all that much. But
all right, to finish this all up, we have, of course, who's hot. We talked about the teams that were who hot. We're talking about pitchers with sticky fingers. But we're only about a month away from the All-Star game. Any All-Star choice for you? Any unknowns that nobody knows about that have a good possibility of making the All-Stars? Like, how about some of those rookies that are having a great season?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you want to talk about a guy like Trevor Rogers out of the Miami Marlins, a sneaky, fun fourth-place team. But this kid, he's 6-3 right now and, over a handful of starts right now. And, I mean, he's a no doubt he won't make it as, you know, he won't make it as a first, you know, first All-Star. But he will make it, you know, as a bench player and something that somebody you could see out of the bullpen. I mean, that's a fun young ball club. And you see that, you know, with guys like him and another Miami Marlin. Look at Jazz Chisholm, you know, having a lot of fun, you know, with the Marlins right now. I feel like the Marlins are on the right track for what they want to do. But those are two kids that are flashy. They go out there and they deliver. And they're going to get some votes.
Well, let's go with an old time. And this guy's 34 years old. He's playing for one of the surprise baseball teams, the San Francisco Giants. Brandon Crawford, 34 years old, 14 home runs. You think he's making a case for making the All-Star game?
Yeah, a little late.
It should be in Atlanta, but we're going to Colorado.
Yeah, they're going to the Mile High State, so that home run derby is going to be a ball.
Oh,
so
you can't vote, but you can go to the Mile High Stadium where it's legal to get high. Oh, I didn't say that. Sorry.
No, this is why it's our podcast. We can do whatever the heck we want.
It's a podcast.
But anyway, you want to talk about
podcast, not a podcast. Oh, sorry.
No, you said it, not me. Anyway, Brandon Crawford, we mentioned him earlier. I alluded to that. You know, he's real big old number 35. He's come back. He's having a heck of a year. You know, like I mentioned, you know, veterans that have been on the World Series teams, you know, that the Giants had in the early part of the last decade, you know, 10, 12, 14, you know. He is having an unbelievable season right now at the plate. You know what he can do defensively, and he's still a really big part of that team. He's going to get some votes for sure.
How about Tatis? He's a lock, eh?
Oh, are you kidding me? One of the most exciting players in baseball. And then you go over to the American League, and you look at a guy with triple crown numbers. I know it's June, but look at Vladimir Guerrero Jr. You know, son of a Hall of Famer, good genes right there. I don't watch a lot of Toronto Blue Jays baseball, but, man, that guy's fun. And what was crazy was, you know, and I'm just coming to this from a Cubs fan's perspective. We're playing against the Padres. We faced them twice now. We've swept them in Chicago. We take two out of three out west in San Diego at Petco. We managed to keep him at bay the entire time. Nobody else has seemed to be able to.
Right. All right. Well, there you go. You got what we look. Who's hot? Who's got sticky fingers? And who has a good chance at making the Major League Baseball All-Star game?
A lot of surprises. Not
in
just
Colorado.
Your
in Colorado. Not in the ATL, but we're going to Colorado for the All-Star game. That's another,
a done deal, coach.
That's another story for another day. We don't get political here, so we'll leave it at that. Remember, you're watching the Who's On First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson, all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network, and it's all part of that great concept over there. All sports, all food, all fun, all the time. And we got to love it. Thank John Henson for letting us do this. Okay. Inning number two. Braves focus. I mean, I just saw a report today that Soroka, Darnold, and Yona aren't going to be here till August. What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance you could see some relief coming, but it's going to be in August most likely. I mean, current reports are stating that, they're going to start going. They're going through the rehab right now. But, I mean, you're talking about big pieces of, you know, not just your pitching rotation, but your lineup. You got your, you know, your starting catcher. And, I mean, God bless William Contreras is really having to learn on the fly. But he was really meant to mentor William Contreras this season. But it looks like these guys may be ready to go August. And that's when they're really going to need help.
Well, hopefully it'll be back, and which brings us to the second part of Brave Focus. Let's go down to the farm. Who's going to come up and help? I mean, you love going into the minor league system, so who's going to come up and help the Braves now that we're waiting for these three big baseball stars to come back?
Well, two big names that are, of course, going to jump out that Braves fans are familiar with. You look at Christian Pache. You know what he can do with the glove. He had the injury. He comes off the DL. He's playing for the Gwinnett Stripers right now. Having a little bit of success at the plate. You know, he's 8-for-23 with two home runs since coming back off the DL, but he's going to need some more at bats. I want him to become that complete player. We know the glove is going to be ready when he gets there. I still think he's going to make another appearance in Atlanta this summer, but let's make sure that this is done right. I don't want to wreck this kid. This kid can do some great things, but he's raw. He's raw with the bat. And I really think maybe, I mean, speaking of August, I think he could be ready by then. That's my prediction.
How about the rumors on the street about this big lefty, 6'7", Kyle Muller? I mean, he's just given up two earned runs, five hits, four walks, and 12 strikeouts in 11 innings over there, his previous two starts. You know what? You're not going to have Mr. Soroka for a while. Why not give this kid a chance? He's doing it with the Gwinnett Stripers.
Yeah, he really is. And, I mean, the way things are going right now, yeah, you're seeing some solid appearances here and there, you know, from guys like, you know, Charlie Morton's been better lately. Max Fried turned into Dandy the other day, you know, veteran Drew Smyly. But that kid's going to get a chance. You have to give it to him. It's out of need. Go up there. Brian Snitker knows these kids. And I really think you're going to see he's a big, powerful guy. Like you said, 6'7", big arm. He's going to get a start. He's going to get a start at Truist this summer, no doubt.
All right. Last part of our Braves focus. Are the Braves going to choke again at the trade deadline?
They can't afford to right now. This is a big year. Nobody expected them to struggle that they have. They're 30-33 as of today. They need to go out and make some moves to bolster that bullpen. They have tried several different things in that bullpen that just have not worked. They can't finish games. And that's killing them right now. We know what firepower they have on that offense. But they need to make sure they don't blow this time. And they need to be active.
Well, you know, I want to know where Cole Hamels is.
Oh, well, I'll tell you this right now. He's getting ready to have himself a nice little showcase coming up here. And the Braves are said to be – they're going to be in attendance, no doubt about it. Heck, I wish my Cubbies would be taking a look with some of the injuries we have. But – he's pitched in Atlanta. He enjoyed his time as being a Brave. If you wanted to add some veteran depth in the rotation, I'd say, I mean, all it takes is going out there and see what the guy can still do. We know what great success he had with Philadelphia. He had a really strong year with the Cubs. He contributed to the Braves' playoff run recently, and it's worth a shot. But they need to be active. If they can get ahead of this, and maybe give up a little bit of depth that they have in the minor league system to add somebody that can really put them over the top during the pennant race, they have to do it. We're past rebuilding, Coach.
Across the ticker line, I don't know how true it is, but Major League Baseball is planning to issue a memo later on tonight that says if you get caught with any substance, it's a 10-day suspension with pay, which makes no sense. Why should
you get a pay? It's
cheating. So, I mean, so that just kills me right there. So,
it's what we were talking about earlier with the substances right there. They're trying to crack down, but they still don't know what substances they're cracking down on. That's just it. I still think it's a little premature to do that, but trust me, if anybody's doing anything that they deem a little bit off, they're going to catch them. And I'm interested to see how paranoid pitchers are going to get with this and try to maneuver around it. Are we going to see a drop in spin rate? I mean, I don't know. I feel the next month is going to tell us this.
But it's got to be a little more harsh, like you said. I know it's it's coming across the ticker, but it's got to be a little more. 10 days with pay. How about 10 days no pay? How about you can't replace that pitcher?
No, you can't. That's the thing. You cannot. Okay. I just read this as well a little bit earlier. You can't replace him on your roster, so it's a double whammy.
All right, well, let's go with that one. Okay. All right. Once again, that's inning number 2 in the scorebook. Check that off. All right, we're on to inning number 3. Hey, you're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the Baseball Fanatic, brought to you by Coach's Corner. And, of course, it's on the Coach's Corner Sports Network. We'll get to who's playing in the Soundgarden at the end of the show. But, okay, let's go to inning number 3, the Bananas. They set their own record for most wins in a row. The Bananas are at 11. It's a franchise record right now. But, they're also getting a lot of honors. Kid out of Richmond Hill, played at North Georgia College, played at Jacksonville. This Kyle Lugas, phenomenal night last week against the Bacon. He struck out 9 guys. It was just unbelievable.
Through a dandy. Absolutely through a dandy, Coach. I mean, yeah, 6 innings pitch. He's got 9 Ks, 0 earned runs. Easily the pitcher of the week in the CPL, and he is having fun being a banana. If you got a chance, go to SavannahBananas.com and look it up. They do some great work. Really fun article. He's embraced what it means to be a banana. Really fun, talented pitcher, and he's having the time of his life playing for the Bananas right now. And like you said, Coach, 11 in a row.
Well, right now, Kyle has been with the Bananas for 4 straight years. That's pretty impressive when you keep on coming back to the Coastal Plain League and playing for your hometown team.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, Richmond Hill kid goes off to North Georgia, pitches really well. And, as he's doing that, he's getting a chance to play in one of the premier wood bat leagues in the summer, to try to hopefully get a chance to get a look, with some major league scouts, when he does end up graduating. But he is really doing the job, pitching really well. And I mean, it's fun to pitch in Grayson Stadium, that he went there growing up as a kid, watching all the teams that have played in historic Grayson Stadium. But great to see him get this honor, and just hope the Nanas can keep rolling, and let's tie this record. Let's break this record.
Well, we'll see what happens. Of course, while we're recording this or while we're doing our podcast, they're playing 2 in Macon, Georgia against the Macon Bacon. Okay, local kids. We wanted to get to this guy last week. Local kids, Josh Reddick back in the majors. He's getting another cup of coffee, this time with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He was hot, but this week he cooled off a little there, buddy.
Yeah, he really did. He got started. Right now he's got 73 at-bats, 20 hits, 8 RBIs, 274 average. He was hot as a pistol his first couple of weeks up, but the last week he's been 3-for-20, struggling a little bit. Hopefully he can kind of right the ship and stay in the show. But Josh's pedigree, played with some great teams, and of course he's got that World Series ring to show off. So just as good to see the Mr. Effingham boy doing well, and hopefully he can get everything right out with the Diamondbacks. So I have no doubt he's a pro, and hopefully he can kind of mentor some younger players. And he's still got some speed. The guy can flat out, play a great, right field. Like to see him get on base a little bit, but hopefully he can right the ship. I'm just glad he's in the show again.
Well, he's got gold gloves to prove it. Like you said, The key to Josh Reddick being out there with the Diamondbacks, who were having a rough season, is that he's a veteran. He's won a World Series. He's been part of a lot of good organizations.
Absolutely.
You got to give him a lot of credit. And it's always fun watching those local kids, because I got to watch them in high school. So, well, let's go to another guy from South Effingham High School, also through Middle Georgia College, J.B. Wendelken, a pitcher with the Oakland Athletics. He's been out with a strained left oblique, which is pretty serious.
Oh, that's a rough one.
That's your side. And for a pitcher, that hurts a lot. So tell us about Wendelken.
Okay, so he's currently rehabbing it right now. So it looks like this Thursday he's going to head out with the Las Vegas Aces, their AAA team, out in the Pacific Coast League. And he's going to get a chance to work out of the pen several games. Now, the A's are getting ready to start a 10-game road trip. There is no doubt that he will be activated somewhere during that trip because, they definitely need help in that bullpen. They're still playing really great ball out west, but I know they'll be happy to get JB back. Glad to see it because, man, an oblique injury, I don't care. You try to do anything, even if you're not a ball player, that hurts.
It hurts big time. All right, let's go down to let's go to Triple A. Let's start off with Tyler Bachelor, who, of course, got big bucks with the Mets, was traded to the Pirates. He was on the Pirates 40-man roster. He was given the option. He decided to stay. Hey, he's out there with the Indianapolis Indians doing a great job.
Now, I've got a lot of family from Indianapolis. It's a beautiful ballpark. It's one of the best in AAA. And, going out there in the International League, and he's playing at Victory Field. He is in an organization that is going through a rebuild right now. He's 0-1, but he's become their de facto closer as of right now. He is got a 2.03 ERA. He's got 13 games in. He's got 3 saves. And with a team like the Pirates right now, they're in a full-fledged rebuild under President and GM Ben Cherington, who had all the great years with the Boston Red Sox. I think he's going to be making an appearance at PNC Park, and just glad to see he's doing well with a really class organization.
I mean, if I'm not mistaken, innings pitched. He's pitched 13 innings, 13 and one third. He has struck out 21 batters, and he's only walked 5.
Yeah, really good. His whip looks fantastic right now. And, a team that's on the rebuild right now, I'm just excited to see what he can do. Just keep going out there. Put in the work.
And the thing is, he can throw the ball 98 to 100 miles per hour.
No, he can throw gas. Nobody doubts that. He's got that wicked four-seamer. He's got the breaker. And, he's got his time in the major leagues. Unfortunately, it didn't work out with the Mets. But getting a new start with a team that is kind of going with a fresh start mentality as well, I think this is a good organization for him. And this is playing for the Pittsburgh Pirates organization right now for him. This is the best chance for him to get back into the major leagues.
All right, let's go with another. So we had two kids from South Effingham High School with Reddick and Wendelken. Now we got two kids from Calvary. We got Bachelor, and I know this makes you happy because he's out there with the Tennessee Smokies. You got to love it. Okay, and that's Rylan Lawler, AA. He's getting his chance to come back. He was a big draft pick by the Braves, let go. So he's battling back. I think he stepped into a reliever role or a closer role for the Smokies, right?
Yeah, he really has. And, I mean, it's a small sample size right now. He's got a 2-0 record right now. ERA is a little bit high, but, I mean, based on his inning pitch, it's a really small sample size. And the Southern League is tough. That is the biggest proving ground. You see more top players getting called up out of AA than AAA these days. I see it all the time right now. And let's just see what he can do. Maybe he can settle down a little bit. And just want him to do well. And if you haven't seen it, the Tennessee Smokies have got some pretty sharp uniforms. I got enough hats to prove it.
They're really cool. I mean, they got that. It looks like a cubby on a hat. Is that a bear on the top of the hat?
Hey, they're black bears in the Smoky Mountains. This thing writes itself.
I know it gets you excited, okay?
Sure does.
Once again,
beautiful park, too.
That's inning number 3. That's a wrap. Now we go to inning number 4. The fun part of the show is where we do a little baseball trivia. The coach tries to knock off the baseball fanatic. The baseball fanatic in 8 episodes has a record of 5 wins, 1 loss, 2 ties. I snapped my 17-game losing streak, but, I'm back on the losing streak again. So we're going to make it shorter now. 2 questions. We will have tiebreaker question if we have to. So I went first last week. It's your turn to go first, buddy.
Okay. I'm going to start with this one. And I've got a couple. I wrote down a handful of questions to see what you would get.
I know.
This goes back.
You got to find the hardest ones for me. You just can't have two. You got to have 50.
Well, I got a few. All right.
Go ahead.
There are only two teams to win 116 games, which is the major league record. The first being the 1906 Chicago Cubs. Who is the other team?
I know the Yankees won a buku 1 year. I'm going to go with the Yankees.
Nope, that was 98, and that was a good guess. 2001 Seattle Mariners. Lou Piniella.
How many did they win?
116. They tied the 06 Cubs.
Did the Yankees win 115?
They won 114.
114.
No, I take that back. They won a little bit less because the second most was the 1954. No, you might be right with buck 14 on that one.
I think
111, I know that the Cleveland Indians had 1954. So either way, it's the Mariners.
It's the Mariners. Okay. Now, this is going to be a little tough for you, okay? We're going way back when, and I'm digging out the ones because I'm trying to get a win here.
I like it.
What female pitcher once struck out Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig in a double-A ball game?
Ooh, Babe Didrikson.
Good try, but no.
Oh,
Jackie Mitchell, a 17-year-old female pitcher for the double-A Chattanooga Lookouts.
I didn't know that, Dad.
Once played the Yankees in an exhibition game and struck out Ruth and Gehrig in succession.
That's a good one. Okay, I don't mind being wrong on that one. Okay.
I'm trying to give myself a chance here. Okay.
Okay.
0-0, inning number two.
Okay, I'm going back in the Wayback Machine here. The Baltimore Orioles, prior to moving to Baltimore in 1953, were what former American League team?
So they moved back to Baltimore in 1952.
They moved to Baltimore.
In 1952.
It was 53. After the 53 season, they moved. But where did they move from, and what was the name of the team?
Well, they started out and then they moved to New York. I know that. Okay.
That was a different Baltimore Oriole franchise altogether, and that goes back to the turn of the century. I'm talking about the team that the current iteration of the Orioles. What were they before?
What were the Orioles before they were the Orioles? Ugh.
No. Where did they come from? They were a team in the American League from the beginning. What were they before?
In the American League.
Yes, American League.
I don't know. This is I'm going to go Connie Mack, the Philadelphia Athletics.
Good guess. St. Louis Browns.
The Browns. Oh.
The Browns.
Okay.
All right. What you got for me? Otherwise, I'm staring at a tie.
Well, no. We got to go to tiebreaker. Okay. And I'm going to make this a little tough on you. Who was the first?
Come on, make it fast. I got a situation here.
Who was the first major league pitcher to pitch a ball over 100 miles per hour? What year and for what team?
Oh, that's been calculated. Bob Feller, Cleveland Indians.
Now I'm making it tough on you tonight. 1974 against the White Sox, California Angel pitcher Nolan Ryan became the first pitcher to break 100 miles per hour when one of his pitches was officially clocked with a radar gun.
Officially clocked. Okay, that's where you
100.8 miles per hour.
All right.
Okay, it's all tied up. We got an extra inning here. We said only two questions. We got to go to third one. So throw it at me, buddy.
Okay. So my tiebreaker is, historic Grayson Stadium has been the host to many different minor league teams. Can you give me the names of the teams prior to the Bananas and the Savannah Sandnets? Can you give me three of them? The three prior to the Sandnets.
We had the Cardinals.
That is correct.
We had the Braves.
That is correct.
And we had I know two out of three.
You get out of three.
And Braves.
I knew you'd get those. That's why you got to do it.
Who was the third one? The Rangers.
Nope. The Savannah Indians.
Indians.
There you go. All right, what you got for me? This is we're looking at a tie here, so give me something.
All right. Okay, so this is a little tough one. Once again, I'm going back.
Hallowed antiquity.
I'm talking about the Sultan of SWAT.
Ooh, okay.
The man that they say sometimes look like, Babe Ruth. While playing for the Boston Red Sox, Babe Ruth hit his first career home run against what American League baseball team? And what year? Now, you don't have to give me the year. Just give me the team.
Oh, you hit it against the Yankees.
Oh, you stink.
Oh, come on.
You win.
They tell you that on the Fenway Tour. I'm never going to forget that.
I haven't been on a Fenway Tour.
Well, you should. I know you're a Yankee fan, but come on. All right. Fly the W. That's 6-1-2.
Can you tell me what year it was?
Oh, what year? 1914.
Close. May 6th, 1915.
So. 15. Okay, because he did get sent down. Okay, right. I forgot about that. I thought, all right, whatever. Anyway, semantics. All right, I'll take the W, but good question tonight, Coach. This is a lot of fun.
All right, here's a fun one, though. I wasn't going to use it because it's not really baseball trivia.
Okay, good.
What is the name of the fictitious minor league baseball team, the Simpsons TV show, and Homer was his mascot?
Oh, Homer was dancing Homer for the Springfield Isotopes.
Oh, you're unbelievable.
Do you know how much I love The Simpsons? We haven't discussed this.
No, we've never discussed The Simpsons. So I got to stay away from the Cubbies and the Simpsons.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
Good stuff, Coach.
Okay, once again, Kyle, another great show. Another one that, you know, I don't know what to do with trivia questions. I thought I had some really tough ones for you. Two out of three were tough, but you got that third one that makes you the winner. But once again, it's always a lot of fun. Remember, it's the Who's on First Base baseball podcast presented by Coach's Corner. Remember, out in the Soundgarden on Saturday, you got to get excited for this one. A little Back in Black.
Ooh, AC/DC. Let's do it.
You got it, buddy. So go to Eventbrite. Starts at 7 o'clock. Back in Black. It's going to be a packed house. Remember, they got trivia night every Wednesday night. Thursday nights, they've been having open mic, so check it out. Friday night, I think they're off this week. But once again, it's always a lot of fun out in the Soundgarden at Coach's Corner. So Back in Black, AC/DC tribute band on Saturday night. Well, big guy, like I say every week, whatever you're doing the rest of the week, may you always hit it out of the park. And until next week, when we talk to you again about a little baseball on Who's on First. Do you know who's on first?
I don't know who's on first.
Third base.
Who?
I don't know.
Who's every pitching? Dollar of it.
I don't know who's
I'm just going to get to the lineup one of these days who can read it out, and we're going to save Abbott and Costello a lot of time.
We might do a segment on that.
I think we really should.
So, once again, have a good time. It's always a lot of fun. Remember, it's the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast, episode number 9, in the books for July 15th. The coach, Carl DeMasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic. We're out of here. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one.